Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is MPB News.
Hi, this is Karen Brown. Thanks for checking out the Mississippi Edition podcast. If you like what you hear, click subscribe, hit like, or leave us a comment if your app has that feature. Then find other MPB podcasts by searching MPB Think Radio on your favorite podcasting platform. Thanks. Good morning. It's 8:30 on Tuesday, September 15th. I'm Karen Brown, and this is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, Hurricane Sally turns off the Mississippi Gulf Coast. We have the latest on the storm with the National Weather Service. Then a look at how the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency is preparing for Sally's landfall and subsequent recovery efforts. Plus, the governor extends the mask mandate while loosening restrictions on restaurants. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. Hurricane Sally is lurking in the northern Gulf of Mexico, sending rain, winds, and storm surge to the coastal areas. Sally quickly strengthened from a tropical storm to a Category 2 hurricane yesterday, but has weakened some since then. Still, it's a slow-moving storm with a forecast that could bring days of rain to some coastal counties with the strong potential for flooding. For the latest on Sally, we are joined now by Benjamin Schott from the National Weather Service in Slidell. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
I have all kinds of questions for you this morning. I've been pouring through all of this information, and I see that it has weakened somewhat from 100 miles per hour to about 85 miles per hour. Is that good news?
It is. The interesting thing about it being so slow and almost now stationary just off the mouth of the Mississippi is that it churns up a lot of cooler water from deeper down in the ocean there, and so it helps lessen the fuel for Sally. So it's a good thing on that end, because when it does come on shore, the wind damage will obviously be much lesser with the weakened state of Sally as it moves on shore.
But what about the fact that it's moving at 2 miles per hour, which is essentially not really moving? Is that going to create more rain or storm surge?
Yeah, so that's the bad side of this. With it being pretty much stuck right now where it's at, and honestly, I don't believe it's going to move much at all over the course of the next 12 hours. So any rain that's wrapping around it will continue to fall in the exact same areas. And then as it does start to slowly move, and when I say slowly, again, we're talking, like you just mentioned, 2-3 miles per hour, it's going to slowly drift to the north, and even then that heavy rain will continue over those same areas. So the potential for 2 feet of rain or more in some areas, especially on the east and northeast side of this system, is very high.
Has the landfall time changed? We were hearing yesterday, late tonight or early tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and so yesterday at this time, it was supposed to be on land as we got into Wednesday, and now it's still going to be out off the Mississippi coast on Wednesday morning. So it has slowed down and significantly from yesterday, and again, it may not make landfall until we get into midday on Wednesday.
Has there been a directional change? It seems that it's moving farther east.
It is. So the center of it right now, it's possible it could go anywhere from Jackson County there in Mississippi or over further to the east into Alabama. So, anyone, though, still from basically Gulfport working their way east and the Pascagoula and to the state line and anybody even further east than that definitely needs to pay attention, because they could get the full brunt of the surge, rain, winds, and if there's any isolated tornadoes, all that is possible in those areas.
I'm looking at radar right now, and it looks like east of us is getting a lot of rain, that the storm is moving up from the southwest. Does that make sense? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. So right now, again, like the center of it is really just stopped. It's really stalled, again, off the mouth of Mississippi. So the rain bands are going to work their way around in a cyclonic manner. So they're going to come out of the east and move west. And then the very far northern bands may be moving from southeast to northwest. So, yeah, those areas are going to continue to see that. And because it's moving so slow, you know, folks, you know, that aren't just right along the coast right now may not see rain until later on this afternoon or maybe even this evening because, again, of that very slow movement to the north.
Now, I've been seeing different amounts of rainfall, different storm surge as much as 9 feet. Is that today? Is that tomorrow? Is that cumulative?
So the storm surge is actually starting to come on shore. It actually started to yesterday. With a storm this close to the shore already, you get that piling up of water as the winds wrap around the system, especially with that south to north flow on the eastern side. So we've been watching gauges all along the northern Gulf Coast rise during the day yesterday, and they'll continue to do so today. The peak surge will probably be sometime as it makes landfall or just before landfall. But we're seeing those rises all across the northern Gulf Coast right now as we speak. And then you throw on top of that the wave action with the winds, you know, you're going to have some significant issues definitely along the coast. And, you know, we're almost at a point now where there's very little, if any, time left to prepare.
You know, it's interesting. It raises the question, is it more serious or is there potential for more damage before the eye of the hurricane, before it makes landfall, or after?
Well, the interesting thing is everybody tends to focus on the winds, but in this case, it's going to be the water. So, you know, there will be a significant damage along the coast because of coastal flooding and the surge, and that will be a given. There's still going to be tropical storm force winds through the day today. So, you know, trees that are weakened from disease or power lines that may not you know, have some issues. You know, some of those may come down or trees may come down into the power lines. And that's even before the center of the storm gets there. And then when that gets there, you're going to start to have hurricane force winds. And obviously at that point, any other structural issues where it can, you know, affect those or bring down trees. So there's dangers through the entire next 36 hour period.
Is there still the possibility that the hurricane may strengthen again to a category 2?
I believe not. Like I mentioned earlier on, with it being stuck in the same spot, hurricanes need warm water for fuel. And with the churning up of the ocean there, it's going to cool that sea surface temperature down. There's also just a little bit of shear affecting the storm as we go from today and tomorrow. And you put those two things together, and it pretty much dictates that it won't be able to really intensify any at all. As we move through the next day or two.
Once the storm starts to move inland, I know that southeast Mississippi is at risk of flooding. What about other areas of the state?
Well, there's a very sharp gradient to the rainfall. So, you know, I think if you're in parts of, say, Pearl River or you're up towards, you know, Hattiesburg, you may see a little bit of rain. But you're not going to see anything like what's going to happen in Pascagoula, Jackson County. And I don't even think that the heaviest rainfall will make it even as far west as Gulfport. So it's going to be a very narrow window there. Just the first couple of counties inland that may see some significant rainfall. And if you're further away, you're going to be pretty lucky that you're just going to get a few, maybe a few bands come through. But there shouldn't be anything that should cause any significant flooding for any other portions of the state.
Great information. Thanks so much for being with us. Benjamin Schott from the National Weather Service in Slidell. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Coming up, a look at how the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency is preparing for Sally's landfall and subsequent recovery efforts. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Hi, I'm Walt Grayson. You can now listen to the wild, weird, and wonderful stories of Mississippi with Mile Marker.
The TARDIS is our little free library here in Mines. It's the TARDIS from the Doctor Who series.
Join me as we hit the roads of Mississippi on Mile Marker.
Surprisingly, for a small town in Mississippi, there are a lot of folks who know exactly what it is.
You can listen by going to mpbonline.org/radio or by using your favorite podcasting app. Mile Marker, a Mississippi Roads podcast.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Karen Brown. Coastal and southeastern Mississippians are starting to feel some of the effects of Hurricane Sally. The storm is expected to bring wind, storm surge, and lots of rain. Some residents are under evacuation orders. Others have elected to ride out the storm. In either case, the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency is preparing to respond. As MEMA Director Greg Michelle tells our Michael Guidry, the early preparations for the storm were coordinated in a way to adjust if Sally's projected path continues to change.
Yeah, so really the preparations are unchanged because we have to prepare, you know, we have to prepare for the worst. And that's just, one of the problems and the challenges with hurricane season is, you know, unlike, you know, fighting tornadoes, it's almost like a zone defense. But when you fight a hurricane, you have to really, you know, man up, man to man. So in the counties from Hancock, Harrison, Jackson County, they all postured, you know, beginning last week and preparing for this with sandbagging operations. So our resources are set such that we could move them to the west, to the east, depending on what the storm track did. And in this case, if this storm continues to go to the east, then we are prepared also to send resources to assist with Alabama. And I've talked to Brian Hastings, my counterpart over there, already with that. So, you know, our preparations, they have to be the same regardless. The concern for me is that if we continue to have storms that we have near misses like this, that residents begin to become complacent. We haven't seen that yet, which I'm very proud of Mississippians for being able to, you know, responding like they need to, understanding that, you know, we may not get a storm, but we got to stay on our toes because this thing could still change. It's moving very slowly. So it could tick back to the west very easily, but we hope that it won't. But, you know, we're prepared to handle it if it comes back our way.
Evacuation orders are handled at the local level, but can you provide Mississippi residents with an update on where those orders have been issued and what those residents can expect?
Sure. So, yes, in this particular case, in this storm, all the evacuations were managed at the local level. The evacuations that have been issued, there were some evacuations issued for lower portions of Hancock County. It was not a countywide evacuation that has been reported on some of the national media, but they were lower lying areas that typically do flood due to the storm surge and all. So Hancock County, there have been some recommended evacuation areas in Harrison County for those low lying level areas, and then Jackson County has also issued some similar things for the lower portions of their county. So there have not been any statewide evacuations, and the governor reserves the right to do that in the event of a catastrophic event. But we try and we allow, I say allow, the locals do a very good job of managing that based on floodplain and flood elevations, and then they make their decisions accordingly.
You said one of the worries is about dodging two bullets and residents becoming complacent. What are you hearing from local EMAs about compliance and about preparedness on the coast as this storm kind of lingers and just shows a level of uncertainty?
Yeah. So you've always got to have folks that are going to, you know, try to ride it out. And those individuals, they've been through it before, so they know. But I will tell you that, even given the unlikeliness or say the uncertainty of this storm, people seem to be doing the right thing. And the EMA directors have confirmed that. I've spoken with all three of the lower coastals and even some of the counties, even further inland, and everyone seems to be doing what they need to do. Was riding yesterday in areas where people tend to move their vehicles up on the road, and a lot of vehicles. There's a lot of action being taken place. I'm very proud of Mississippians for, you know, taking the initiative, doing what they need to do, following the directions of the emergency management and public safety personnel in the event that this storm were to come about. So I'm not seeing any complacency. I just want to reiterate to Mississippians, especially those in the lower counties, to continue to, you know, be complicit and just stay prepared.
The big threats that we know of right now are rain and storm surge, possibly hurricane force winds, depending on where this storm tracks. As the storm, you know, gets closer and we start to feel the real effects of it, what are those safety measures that MEMA wants to communicate when it regards to power outages, when it comes to flooded roads. What are some things that residents down there who are riding out the storm need to really be aware of and be on top of safety-wise as they kind of negotiate the storm and then maybe some of those immediate hours afterwards?
Yeah, so any of the individuals that are going to remain in place and, take necessary precautions, first of all, need to, if you're going to be where you're going to be safe, you're going to need to remain in place until the effects of the storm are over. We're still going to get, regardless of how far this thing moves to the east, we're still going to get some storm surge here on the coastal Mississippi Gulf Coast. So people need to understand that the areas that flood, they're going to flood again. And we've been projected even as of last night of some very high storm surge, 7 to 9 feet. It appears that some of that is down a little bit, but even still, we're going to have some storm surge. Power outages, flooding. People won't consider this, but even less wind, you're going to have power outages due to the flooding. And in this particular case, on the eastern side of the storm, which is what we were projecting just 24 hours ago, a lot of power outages. So you may be without power for extended periods of time. And to that point, just a reminder to everyone, those are using generators. Do not put those generators in doors. Make sure that they're outside. They're well ventilated. Louisiana experienced a number of deaths from individuals that had power generators, but they had inside and they succumbed to carbon monoxide poisoning. And also understand that emergency personnel during a storm, during high wind conditions, are going to be delayed before they can get to you. So, if you're going to put yourself in a risky situation, you could be out of the reach of emergency personnel until storm conditions subside. So it's very important that people watch and adhere. If you got an evacuation order, the best thing to do is to move out of the area and wait till the storm has subsided to come back when it's safe.
As we brace for this today, the effects of it today and into tomorrow, I know things could change, but what lasting message do you want to give Mississippians as we look toward this one and, potentially others as hurricane season isn't quite over yet?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I mean, we just reached peak season, and, we aren't even started talking about the other systems that are out there. I mean, we've got, I believe last count was 7 systems that are out. Not all of those are going to affect us, but just getting back to your point. So step one is, This storm is not slated to make landfall until early tomorrow morning. So we've still got almost another 24 hours that this storm could do a lot of stuff. It has slowed to somewhere between 2 and 4 miles an hour. So, it's steady sitting out there cooking. It could easily jog back to the west. It's very close. It's right here in our backyard. It could do anything. So everyone needs to remain vigilant. Do not let your guard down at all. Do not let this fact that this storm has ticked to the east put you in a level of complacency. We hope that we will miss the brunt of this storm, but we are still going to have effects. We're still going to have rainfall, particularly in southeast portions of Mississippi and inland up as far, George County and in that area. So we're going to have some flash flooding. We're going to have some rain. We're going to have some wind, and the tornado threat is still very possible. So we're going to have some dicey weather conditions over the next 48 hours. So everyone just needs to remain vigilant, listen, and respond accordingly, please.
Colonel Greg Michel is the director for the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency. Director Michel, thank you so much for keeping us updated.
My pleasure, Michael. Thank you.
For residents unable to evacuate, the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency on its website lists shelters that have opened. They are in Loosedale, Kiln, Sosher, Gulfport, Pass Christiane, Moss Point, Ocean Springs, Picayune, Poplarville, and Wiggins. MEMA's resources will be supplemented by support from Mississippi National Guard. Adjutant General Boyles of the Guard says various assets are in place and on call to respond.
We have our engineering assets in place, we have our aviation assets in place, and we have security assets in place, which would be MPs and other soldiers. What's a little bit different about this storm is that we've postured some responsiveness at Camp Shelby, Mississippi. Yesterday we were thinking we might be able to pivot down 59, but this also gives us the ability to pivot down Highway 98 or Highway 49 if needed. In addition to that, we still have our assets on the coast to respond to any coastal needs. With that said, we've reached out to our neighboring states. They've reached out to us. with the National Guard support, so we've got plenty of National Guard support available. And at this point, Governor, we also are able to support the COVID response without any change in our support there.
Coming up, the governor extends the mask mandate while loosening restrictions on restaurants. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Hello, I'm Dr. Nancy Lottridge Anderson, president of New Perspectives, a fee-only financial advising firm and co-host of Money Talks. For over 10 years, Money Talks has been answering your personal financial questions and sharing knowledge about money management. Money Talks can be heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on MPB Think Radio. Podcasts can be found on our website, money.mpbonline.org, or on your smart device's podcasting platform.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Karen Brown. Mississippi residents will be under a mask mandate through the end of September. Yesterday, Governor Tate Reeves announced he is extending his executive order through the end of the month. But he's also easing restrictions on restaurants, citing the declining trend in COVID-19 cases.
The executive order is extended until the end of this month in terms of the statewide mask mandate. We did make several changes to the EO. We made the decision to allow, for example, restaurants to increase their capacity limitations from what was 50% to 75%. We allowed restaurants to increase their total size of an individual party, which was limited to 6. It is now limited to 10, where those restaurants are have the ability to have their tables spaced out by 6 feet. In addition to that, we also allowed other private sector entities like retail operations as well as gyms to increase their capacity limitations from what was 50% to 70%. We have had a tremendous move towards progress in our state since we reached our peak on June the 26th. We had a 7-day moving average of 1,381 cases per day, 7-day average on June the 26th. Today, that number is approximately 412. So over a 65% decline in our daily 7-day average, our weekly 7-day average. But we're not done yet. Today's number of cases is slightly over 140. Was the lowest number of cases we've had in recent memory. And so we are seeing tremendous progress. And by the way, I want to point out that we were able to do that at a time when we reopened K through 12 public schools, at a time when we reopened our community colleges, at a time when we reopened our institutions of higher learning, at a time when the vast majority of private sector entities, while they may have had limited restrictions on them, they were operational. They were functional. Our economy is functioning. But yet, because of the efforts of the people of this state, we are making progress not only from an economic standpoint, but also from the standpoint of reducing the amount of virus that is in our local communities. And so we did extend the executive order until the end of the month, but we did loosen restrictions considerably on private sector entities.
The Department of Health reported 145 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. That brings the total since March 11th to 90,018. They also reported 9 additional deaths, bringing that total to 2,706. County Health Department offices and WIC centers in George, Hancock, Harrison, Jackson, Pearl River, and Stone counties will be closed today as those areas brace for Hurricane Sally. This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. Thanks for listening to the Mississippi Edition podcast from MPB News and MPB Think Radio. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already, and if your app lets you, leave a comment or review. We really do appreciate it. Remember, you can always get in touch with MPB News on Facebook and Twitter, and fresh episodes of the podcast are posted every weekday morning. I'm Karen Brown. Thanks for listening. This is Mississippi Edition from MPB Think Radio.